And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The ASL Sports Zone.
Havana Brown. Havana Brown. Red One. Miss Waterland. From Miami.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Win Ticket Wednesday. We're going to give away some Pitbull tickets later on in the show. Do you think Pitbull is Armpit McAfee's favorite artist?
They have similar energy. Or you think just because of the pit aspect?
I think it's the pit thing.
You think pits stick together?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Maybe.
No?
Well, they're referring to two very different kinds of pits.
Where does Pitbull come from? What is that?
I believe it's after his dog or something.
No, I mean, like, where does the name Pitbull come from? Not the rapper. Why do they call it a Pitbull?
Yeah, maybe.
Does it live in a pit? What's the deal?
It's probably named after its leg pits, or because dogs don't have arms. It doesn't really look like your traditional bull.
The history of fighting in pits against bulls gave them their name. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Lame.
They fought bulls in pits, so we called them pit bulls.
Oh, okay. We lacked creativity back then.
Yeah.
All right.
Straightforward. I mean, it's a good name. Pit bull is a good name, both for a rapper and a dog.
Is he a rapper? Is that his genre?
Yeah. I think he's a... Yeah, absolutely. He's got a little bit of a Latin flair, right?
Okay. I don't know. I'm not that...
Paving the way for...
I feel like his featured songs... are a lot better than his own personal songs.
His deep cuts are rough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he has some good hits, but I think overall the songs he features in are a lot better than just his regular songs.
I would imagine though his concerts are probably a good time cuz he's a positive vibe guy, right?
Oh, I want to go.
Yeah, he's a party.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
One of my friends already texted me and tickets aren't that expensive. Like for the...
Oh, so jump on it.
Yeah. So I'm like, I mean, if it's like $50, why not?
Yeah. Go see Pitbull.
Well, it's at the amphitheater too, right? America First Credit Union Amphitheater. There's like not a bad seat in that venue, in my opinion. I've watched plenty of great concerts from the grass. And yeah, you're not right up close, but the sound is great. You can see everything. It's not obstructed.
Also, sometimes the lawn is more fun.
Way more fun. The fun crowd is on the lawn, and I would argue the access to the restroom/refreshments is far better. But then you have the, like, oh, I got to find my way back to where I was in the dark kind of thing going, which can be a little rough. But.
Stepping over people.
Jake's priorities, though.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I've spilled on more than one other person's lawn blanket. You have to. Don't give me that. But yeah, the lawn is a more loose vibe.
Casual.
At most shows, I would say.
Matches your vibe.
Exactly. And you can get away with anything on the grass.
There's not a lot of things I'm trying to get away with at a concert.
Well, you're going to the wrong concert.
Apparently I need to go to Pitbull and try to get away with things.
Anything goes on the grass.
I'm just trying to get away with stuff. What? We'll see. We'll see what I get away with.
All right, Ben. Where do you want to start today? Your Knicks?
Sure. We've had some great playoff series. I was pulling my hair out last night at one of the games at the Orlando-Cleveland game.
We were totally wrong about that game.
Hey, well, and I didn't realize Jared Allen wasn't going to play, and they had a chance to win it. I mean, the Magic gave that game away. The Magic were better. Paolo Banchero was the best player on the floor, 39-8-4. He's a star in the making.
But they made shots and somehow lost.
Oh, I...
Which is not...
How they lost is, and I tweeted about it, I'm sorry to just rehash it, this idea that you don't need to have a point guard or just somebody who actually gets you into your offense. They just have Paolo Banchero or Franz Wagner dribble up, stand 5 feet behind the three-point line, and just look at each other like, are you going to throw me the post-entry pass or am I going to throw you the post-entry pass? And then you get it and just pivot a bunch of times and try to take a fadeaway jump shot.
Yeah, their offense is not good.
Just run something. Get a point guard and run something. You drafted Anthony Black in the first round. His whole thing is, I run stuff. I'm a connector. I see everything. Fine. Maybe he hasn't done it a whole lot this year. He's done it a whole lot in his life. But you can't just force a guy into this role. It's really hard to do. I get Jokic can do it. I get some of the guys can do it. You guys can't do it. And you're giving away playoff games by forcing it down your own throats to this idea that you're going to be able to just turn Paolo Banchero into a guard.
Yeah, that's not
it's not
be
a thing.
But
and you lost as a result, and you probably are going to lose the series as a result of that.
Well, to your point, Ben, do you not have, hopefully you don't have the box score in front of you.
I have it. I won't look at it.
Okay, don't look at it. Give me the combined assists from the Magic starting backcourt, meaning Jalen Suggs,
okay,
who we love because of his defense.
But they don't let him touch the ball.
And Gary Harris, their starting backcourt. Those two.
Five.
Total assists between them.
3 and 2.
You're going with 5.
Yeah.
Sarah, do you want to take a guess?
Total assists. I said 5.
Ben said 5 between two players, Gary Harris and Jalen Suggs.
In the backcourt.
Oh, gosh. I'll go one below. I'll go 4.
Okay. Ben, now I'm going to follow up this question and ask you, how many assists did I have last night?
0.
I had the same amount as those two.
Your starting backcourt had 0 assists.
0. The bagel. Ugh. The old bagle.
I hate something so bad. I hate it so bad.
But that totally backs up what you're talking about.
I'm just...
0.
I was literally, outwardly angry watching the game last night. Which, The Knicks 76ers game was unbelievable. That's been one of the best series I've ever watched in my life. Just every game is crazy. Something insane happens in the last 30 seconds of every game.
Maxie was awesome.
Maxie scored 9 points in the final minute and get 7 in the final 30 seconds to send a 6-point game to overtime and then took over and won further. It was great. But just watching teams give away games like that. Like Orlando, I know you're not here very often. You should recognize even more importantly that you can't just throw stuff away. I mean, they're just having Paolo Banchero drive to the hoop and try and throw things to the corner. He doesn't know where guys are. Which,
well,
again, he's 21. He's 21. You're trying to develop some of that stuff, but it's so disrespectful to the game. I hate it. I'm not trying to be this purist because I'm really not this basketball purist, but I do want you to understand that it is important to run an offense at times. And that right now, your 21-year-old and Franz Wagner, who's never been in this situation, are not good enough to do it. As good as they are, they're not good enough to do that. And Jamal Mosley's just sitting there, and he's a really good coach, but he's just sitting there with his hands in his pocket saying, like, I don't know what else to do.
Gary Harris may have had the worst line I've ever seen.
Okay, what do you have?
So 19 minutes.
Okay.
As the in the starting backcourt, 19 minutes. 0 points.
Yeah.
He was 0 for 3 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3.
You've established no assists.
No assists, no rebounds. Now, hold on. I'll get to the positive in a second. He did have 2 turnovers and 3 personal fouls.
Okay.
But did have 2 block shots somehow.
Okay, good for Gary.
Which is exactly what you want out of your starting guard. Make sure to go out there and get a couple of blocks, Gary.
19 minutes?
19 minutes.
Of cardio.
Which is not like 8 minutes.
Oh, no, there
like,
are.
I'll forgive that line for 8 minutes.
Foul trouble at the end of the first quarter, at the end of the half, and you're just like, well, we just don't want our starting guard to get their third foul at the end of the second quarter. So we're up 8. We can survive with 8 minutes of Gary Harris or 4 minutes of Gary Harris here and then maybe 4 minutes again at the end of the third quarter. So our starting guard can play, Markel Fultz can play the whole 12 minutes. They didn't do that.
And how bad is Markel Fultz if they're
right.
like, oh,
if he can't
man.
Play.
And his line wasn't that bad in 15 minutes, but he's so bad they can't play him. Yeah, to your point, I mean, it's like, how bad are you? And by the way, Donovan Mitchell, what did you think of his game?
It was awful.
Yeah, he was bad.
He has been awful in this series, and I know he's been hurt. He had a couple of good games to start, and he had 30, and you're like, okay, looks like Donovan Mitchell's fine, and he's healthy. Donovan just is exactly who we thought he was. He's not better.
He still is, yep.
He's not better in Cleveland. His numbers were better last year because they ran a different system that kind of, I don't want to say juiced his numbers. He's as good as what his numbers are.
He was more selfish last year in Cleveland.
They just kind of let him do other things.
Yeah.
And good for him. He was all NBA second team, and he laughed at the idea that Shea got it over him on Twitter. And then obviously look at how good Shea is and how good Donovan is, and Shea was absolutely right. And all the voters were right that Shea was better.
Donovan's the same guy.
I mean, Donovan... This is going to make you mad. I'm not trying to be mad.
Uh-oh.
Make you mad. Like, Jalen Brunson's better than Donovan Mitchell.
No, stop it.
Jalen Brunson is better than Donovan Mitchell, and it's not close.
So.
He's a lot better than Donovan Mitchell.
You just love Jalen Brunson.
He's better than Donovan by a lot.
He's not even better than Tyrese Maxey.
Well, Tyrese Maxey is also a star. Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Maxey right now in this series are unbelievable going at each other. But yeah, you're just so capped, unfortunately, with Donovan Mitchell. I was talking to a guy who knows Jazz basketball pretty well. We were texting, and he said the Pelicans and the Cavs should swap Donovan Mitchell and Brandon Ingram. Now, Donovan Mitchell, I think, is better than Brandon Ingram. But I think maybe they should swap Darius Garland and Brandon Ingram and hope that, I guess, Donovan Mitchell wants to be around and would re-sign for more or re-sign in Cleveland if Brandon Ingram was there. But, man, the problem is you are so capped with Donovan Mitchell as your best player. The same way the Jazz were capped with Donovan Mitchell as their best player. And Danny Ainge came in, and he read that situation within a week of being here and said, yeah, we're going to have to blow this up. Being close is not being there. You know, saying you're halfway there does not mean you're going to get to your final destination. And Donovan, as good as he is, I'm not trying to trash him because he's really good. He just, if he's your best player, you're really going to cap yourself, which is why he needs to end up in, you know, San Antonio or one of these spots that has a superstar big man that he can just be the second option. And I just, he needs to realize that's who he's got to be.
You could say the exact same thing word for word about Jalen Brunson.
Oh, of course you could. Yeah, absolutely. Jalen Brunson is not good enough by himself to win a title. No, not even close.
He's not good enough to be the best player on a title team.
No, absolutely not. He's not. He's got there that limitation still exists. I mean,
he needs a Patrick Ewing type player.
Well, he'd carry
to get himself
old Patrick Ewing over the finish the line. But no, yeah, absolutely. They need Joel Embiid. Unfortunately, Joel Embiid, after seeing Tyrese Maxey last night go off for 40 plus points, including just dagger three after dagger three late, including a four-point play in the final minute when that was the one thing you couldn't do if you were the Knicks. Embiid's never leaving Philly. As long as Maxey's there, he's never leaving Philly. Tyrese Maxey's perfect as far as, like, personality is unshakable. They tried to start James Harden over him. He didn't care. He didn't say, like, fine, trade me. James Harden's an idiot. I'm better than James Harden. And you're taking away my minutes and my development right now to the point where you're not even going to offer me a super or a max contract right off the bat. They made him wait for it. Still going to sign it this offseason. Yeah, Tyrese Maxey is everything you want in a star.
Well, if he does sign it in the offseason.
Yeah, I think he will. I would.
He could Gordon Hayward this thing easy.
Imagine him taking the qualifying offer and be like, no, but
I'm good.
Truly unrestricted free agency.
I'm good. That could happen.
That would be a shocker.
That could happen.
He'll get his $200 million this summer. And
yeah, he seems to be a good yin to Embiid's yang, but the rest of that team is so terrible.
So bad. Tobias Harris is awful.
Well, yeah, the whole rest of the team is awful.
Like their third best player is Nicholas Batum.
It's never a good sign when you're propping up a real geezer to play a major role. Like, it's not a good sign when the Lakers do it. It's not a good sign when teams do it. And Kyle Lowry is a geezer at this point. And they're just trying to prop him up and wheel him out there and being like, we need you to dial back the clock, Kyle.
It's, yeah.
Not a good sign.
No, it's not. They're
Nick Batum, same thing.
He's their third best player right now. Nick Batum, I mean, he had the game-saving block on Jalen Brunson at the final possession because he's so big and he can still move his feet pretty well that he allowed that game to go to overtime after Tyrese Maxey hit that logo three to tie the game up. But, yeah, I mean, they've got so much work to do. The problem is I don't know how much better they're going to get, even with free agents.
And as we talked about the other day, isn't there nobody contracted to be on the team next year?
It's just those two. I mean, it's like Joel.
Got to flip the whole team.
It's Joel, and they will re-sign Tyrese Maxey, which is a good place to start. You've got your number one. You've got your number two. That's the hardest thing to get in the NBA. Joel's got to start staying healthier. But you've got your two guys. They've got to fill out the whole rest of the roster via trade or free agency, and we'll see if they can do it.
That's brutal.
Oh, it was crazy.
That's brutal.
It was by design. Daryl Morey wanted to have all this flexibility to go out and sign people, but
he is a moron.
Again, you're going to end up signing Talen Horton-Tucker for $8 million because you have money and you have spots.
Hot dog's loving it.
Yeah, he's got his eyes set on Philadelphia. Like, I'm going to be the starting shooting guard.
He's already looking at real estate. Hot
dog! The city of brotherly love.
Yeah.
Perfect for me.
Going to get a nice condo downtown.
Yeah. So, I mean, the games were fun. It was great. The playoffs have been great. I love the NBA playoffs. I think the first round has lived up to expectation. I thought the Pacers were going to close out the Bucks, and then no-showed without Giannis and without Damian Lillard.
The plucky Bucks.
The Pacers no-showed Malik Beasley hit. I watched Malik Beasley myself score 30 points in that game, and I looked at his final box score. He had like 16. I swear I saw him hit 8 threes in a row at one point. But yeah, they if the Pacers can't stomp the Bucks without Giannis and Dame.
Well, the East is terrible. Nobody believes
steamrolled by the next round.
Of course they are.
Which is either the Knicks or the 76ers. And now the Knicks have to go back to Philly with Philly having all this belief in itself. And the Knicks could still win either of the next two games. I wouldn't rule out winning and closing out a series on the road in Philly. But, man, they had that game up 6 with 30 seconds to go and you don't win is shocking.
It's shocking how bad the East got overnight.
Really
like,
quickly.
It was terrible for decades. And then it was good, I think, for a season.
It was last year. I remember specifically having conversations saying, like, I don't care about the West playoffs. They're kind of boring.
The East is finally good.
The East, every series is going to be great. And now all of a sudden it's like your third best team is Indiana.
It's awful. Oh, so bad.
Okay.
The Bucks were a disaster all year.
All year.
And they were the, what, 3 seed?
Yeah. I mean, the Knicks lost Julius Randle, who most people would have said is their best player this year, or at least going into the season, lost him for the second half of the season
the
and got better.
Stink. They're the Wizards of 3 years ago with a decent or with a coach that overplays his guys.
They've got more talent than that, obviously. But yeah, I mean they're not like neither of them holds a candle to the Celtics, and even now the Celtics don't have Kristaps Porzingis.
They're still gonna win easily.
It's the season of the calf strain. If they still don't have Kristaps by the time he gets to the finals, they're going to lose the finals to whoever comes out.
He should
West.
Be back by the conference finals, right? Isn't that the...
You would hope so.
Isn't that the rumor? Yeah, you never
but
know.
The calf strain, again, ever since we saw Kevin Durant play through a calf strain and then blow out his Achilles...
Yeah, it's tough.
You don't mess with calf strains.
We saw Mehmet Okur do it
yep.
in a series against the Nuggets.
You just don't... The calf strain is the ultimate... You don't mess with it. It's why we haven't seen Giannis in the playoffs. He's got a calf strain. Jamal Murray, the fear with him right now is he has a calf strain. So
yeah,
we're just
rough.
Seeing a lot of them at this point. I don't know what the deal is there, but yeah, it's this that one injury that you've got to be really careful with.
Well, listen, Orlando coming back full circle. They've got some roster stuff they got to do. I love their experiment. We've talked about it. But yeah, I'm with you. You got to run something. Like you've got to run something. I love their size. I love their young players. I like Franz Wagner. Like Banchero. Not so wild about Fultz. Like the other Wagner. But yeah, they got to get something.
They might ruin it this summer by going and getting Trae Young.
Oh, it'd be the worst move possible.
I
so
can really
I'm
see
sure
them
that's,
doing that.
That's what they're doing. Yeah, but they're going to have to outbid LeBron to do it.
Yeah, they would. They would have to outbid 3 picks and Austin Reeves, which is probably what they're going to give up, which, you know, I honestly don't know what. I mean, I'm sure the Magic own all their own future first round picks because they haven't made any major trades. They've just tanked and gotten these players. So I can't imagine that would be an issue, but they could really. Not recognize what their culture is. Say, like, well, we need a point guard, and the best distributor out there is the guy who averages 11 assists a game, and Trae Young not realizing, well, he's going to dribble for 18 seconds, and then he's going to dump the ball off to Paolo, and Paolo's going to take more bad mid-range jump shots. Paolo needs to get away from being Carmelo and needs to lean into being, you know, late-game Kawhi or late-game LeBron who aren't afraid to go to the basket. Paolo just loves fading
yeah.
away from the hoop. He's great.
Yeah.
He's, I mean, he had 39 last night.
But
his talent is crazy. He's just... He's got to stop doing that stuff.
But the thing about that is, like, listen, I hated Carmelo's game. Let's stop making Carmelo comparisons. But, like, look at somebody who was really good at hitting faders to win was Dirk Nowitzki. And you know why he was really good at that? Because that played to all of his advantages.
Uh-huh.
He was taller than the guy guarding him, more than likely. He had a quick release, which helped him get the shot off.
Yep.
All he needed was, you know... 6 inches of daylight, and that shot was going down. It played to all his advantages, and he was really, really good at it. Banchero's advantage is you go stand in front of that guy,
right.
And if you do stand in front of that guy, you're going to foul him, or he's going to dunk and win the game.
Yeah.
So why would you take a fader?
Yeah. He's also not.
That negates all your advantages.
Dirk is in the conversation for the greatest shooter
over
6'8 of all time. I mean, it's like he and Kat and Larry Bird. And Paolo's just not there. He's a 33% three-point shooter.
Jordan hit a lot of fadeaway winners. He's a guard.
Yeah.
He's 6'6". He could run over some guys, but he's not running over Barkley.
Right. So,
It is a good series.
And they're going to win game six in Orlando. Like, Cleveland hasn't traveled at all, and I don't expect them to travel well to Orlando in this next game, so it's going to go 7. I'm not betting on a young Magic team winning on the road in Cleveland.
I hope the Lakers trade for Trae Young so much. I hope that happens.
Very realistic.
So badly.
Very realistic that happens.
You know, I was thinking about this. LeBron is like an old, not old, old school, but kind of an old school Italian gangster. I'm thinking Goodfellas.
Okay.
Here, where you latch on to a franchise, you bleed it dry for all your own self-interest, and then you leave it in a fiery ruin.
You move on. Yeah.
And like, if you think about it, he even tried to do that in Miami, but Pat Riley told him no, and that's why he left, right? And so he left Cleveland in ruin the first time, tried to do it the second time, but the shop owner called cops, the bar owner.
Yeah.
Said, you're not going to exploit me, pal.
Right.
So then he moved on to Cleveland, did that in Cleveland. Now he's doing it in L.A. Let me ask you this, though. The Lakers, the most valuable franchise in the NBA. Isn't it kind of sad that they let that happen? Like, it's one thing for the Cavs to let that happen, right? It's one thing for the Rockets to let James Harden do that. Another clutch guy, by the way. But the Lakers are going to re-sign 40-year-old LeBron and draft his kid because he wants them to, and then spend all the rest of their resources acquiring a player that doesn't make them any better at all because he wants that. Isn't that sad?
I mean,
if you're the Lakers, isn't that sad?
LeBron is the most, I mean, not just famous player, but most powerful player maybe in NBA history. More than Jordan was. Certainly more than Kobe was, more than Shaq was. He conducts so much around the league to the point where he's made Brian Windhorst famous. He's made Clutch famous. Like, everyone knows who his agent is, and his agent controls all these other players around the league.
And his agent's just some guy who sold hats to him as a kid.
And no one wants to make Rich Paul mad because you might accidentally make LeBron mad, even though he's never going to come play for your team. Like, there's this whole thing there that he has that much power. But you're right. I mean, there are two franchises in the NBA, right? It's the Lakers and the Celtics. Danny Ainge never let players get bigger than the Celtics. LeBron is just bigger than the Lakers. And look, he probably would have been bigger than the Celtics too. I'm not saying he wouldn't have. But you got the power imbalance there is so out of whack that, yes, he's just flushing all these assets down the drain in L.A., and it's going to leave them bare. And it's why this, you know, future pick the Jazz have in 2027 or 2028 from the Lakers, whatever it is, the top four protected pick, is going to be super valuable because you know LeBron's not playing until then. And they have nothing, they have no way to improve themselves after that. I mean, it's going to be...
No, he's going to leave the franchise in a fiery mess. That's what he does.
And
he
so takes the Jazz over are saying, fine. Then,
but like,
we'll be there in the ashes to pick it up.
I would argue, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would argue that LeBron does not have any more power than Michael Jordan did. But that they flexed that power in completely different ways.
Yeah, fine. Sure, you're probably right.
Michael Jordan flexed the power to enrich himself and honestly change the way for all time that athletes are marketed. That's how powerful he was.
Yes.
And he made the largest athletic apparel, shoewear company on the entire planet.
Yep.
And then even carved off his own shoe company under the umbrella of that other shoe company that is a behemoth. All that to make him a billionaire and an icon and still the most marketable athlete on the planet, which is just crazy.
Yep.
Crazy. LeBron has done it, flexed it to...
He's just done it more on the court. Michael did everything off the court. LeBron did it all on the court.
He messes with the franchise and he has created an agency, which I don't think... is actually against the rules, but since his name's not on the agency, that's how they get around it. I don't think that's right.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't take Brian Windhorst seriously ever because of his... I mean, he's LeBron's childhood friend who he's dragged to the Cleveland plane dealer.
He covered LeBron in high school,
and then he went to Miami. As he left the Cleveland Plain Dealer and went to Miami for ESPN and covered LeBron all there. And then he went back to Cleveland, his base with ESPN. He's in L.A. now. I mean, I don't take his reporting seriously. I don't know. I wish LeBron would have flexed his power in the lockout 10 years ago. Why don't you go get a couple points back on the CBA for your fellow players? He was, Ben, I don't know if you remember it. I don't know if you were covering the NBA when that was going on. Maybe it was at the beginning of your run. But LeBron said nothing ever during that whole thing. He let Derek Fisher go in there and get pantsed by the owners.
Yeah.
Because he knew he would the new CBA wasn't going to take a bite out of him.
Right.
That's not, you know, he didn't go to the mat for his fellow players. He didn't actually flex his muscle to improve the game. All he's done is flexed his muscle to get what he wants.
Yeah, and as a result, the player empowerment thing has been in the wake of what LeBron has done to benefit himself. Right?
Like, and now other players are doing it.
Right. Yeah. He normalized, well, I'm leaving somewhere in my prime to go join a championship contender.
He normalized that it's about me. Like, you can look at, even though LeBron's been super durable, the load management thing. He's normalized I'm going to look out for this guy.
Right.
And I'm not really worried about I'm certainly not worried about the regular season, but I'm not worried about the team.
But he is the greatest tone setter in NBA history, and great not meaning good, meaning he's had a more overwhelming impact on setting the tone of the NBA over his 20-year career than any other player.
And yet Windhorst is out there just calling him the greatest thing since sliced bread. Ben, how many times have the Lakers finished above 7th in the West in his run there in L.A.?
Once. Yeah.
And that barely counts because it was 2020.
Yeah, it was in the bubble.
Once, then 7th and below.
Yep.
That's bad. Why would you let that guy run your franchise, let alone if you're the Lakers? The Lakers. You're the Lakers. Yep. Are you kidding me?
No, it is strange. I mean, and look, he's either the first or the second greatest player of all time. Like, you do what you can to get that guy on your roster. But again, that goes back to the player empowerment and the imbalance that we
have
struck in the NBA.
Not at this point. Not 40-year-old
LeBron.
Yeah,
not now. Yeah. I'm with you, too. Hey, look, they need to trade LeBron. They do. They should trade LeBron now. They should. I mean, they can't because he's
got an option.
Yeah, he's a free agent, essentially. So they can't do it. But, yeah, they need to part ways.
He'll opt out, and I guarantee they sign him to a 2-year extension.
Yeah, of course.
And on top of the cherry on top, they likely take Bronny.
They'll do a 1-and-1. They'll give him a 1-year deal with a 1-year player option so we can opt out again next season or just retire. And then, yeah, you draft Bronny in the second round. You find a way to acquire a second-round pick. They already have a late second-round pick, and you draft him there. You're right. That is the offseason plan, and they're going to trade their first.
Why would you do that?
They're going to trade their first to get to get Trae Young or DeJounte Murray or whoever,
and finish 7th or worse next year.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that? Like, you're saying, like it's inevitable. I know it's inevitable.
Yeah.
If you were an NBA franchise, why would you sign up for that?
Because LeBron has he has that gravity.
Because you're kissing his rear.
Yep.
And you would do this?
No.
Okay, all right, good.
No,
I'm
but
glad that.
I know that is what's going to happen.
And we're just excusing it? Like, oh, it's okay, it's LeBron?
Crazy. I can't fight the sun coming up either. It's going to happen every day, whether I want it to or not.
Top three stories coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Girl, my body don't lie.
Right one.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, time for the top three stories of the day. KSLSports.com, brought to you by J. Brooks Jewelers. Two locations to serve you, one on Winchester Street across from Fashion Place Mall, the other Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, the 76ers force game 6.
In a thrilling game, they stave off elimination in New York, Ben. And we'll see if they can win 2 more.
I'll still take the Knicks just because, you know, you get that many.
Love the Knicks so much with all your heart.
You get that many at-bats, 3 chances to win a closeout series. I mean, 3-1, I know it's happened in our lifetime. We've seen the Jazz blow it. We've seen the Clippers blow it. We've seen Doc Rivers do it several times. You shouldn't lose 3 games in a row in a playoff series when you've been good enough to take a 3-1 lead, barring, you know, some significant injury, and that is not the case here. So I think the Knicks will close it out. They could easily do it in Philly, or they'll have a chance to do it in Game 7. But, hey, again, Tyrese Maxey's a star, and we know how good Joel Embiid is, the reigning MVP. Tonight's games, Heat at Celtics. Another chance to close this one out. Heat up or Celtics up 3-1. And then the other great Western Conference series, Mavericks, Clippers. Clippers looking to go up 3-2.
Yeah, hopefully Kawhi doesn't play and the Clippers have a shot.
I do think the Mavericks were a little shocked not having Kawhi out there and kind of maybe went out there with this emotional idea that, oh, we'll beat them because they don't have Kawhi. They're missing their best player. We'll be fine. And James Harden was awesome and Paul George was awesome in the first half, not great in the second half. But
at the moment, they're better without him.
Yeah, much better. And yeah, again, you can have too many guys. You can have too many people who need the ball to throw off the rhythm, and that is not the issue when Kawhi's not out there now.
Well, I think in the NBA it is often overlooked who has the ball. And listen, if you're going to have the ball 50% of the time that you're on the floor, and you're not capable of being effective when the time you have the ball, well, you have to move off the ball. But they, you know, Kawhi wasn't going to move off it. He was going to. When it was super clunky, as we talked about. So if he doesn't play, other guys have a chance to take those opportunities that he was taking, and they're more effective with them. It makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely does.
But I'm rooting against Dallas, so I hope the Clippers win.
Probably better for the Jazz if Dallas loses. So if you're a Jazz fan, you're looking for who to root for. Root for the Clippers.
All right, next.
Number two, Davante Adams shows Jordan some love.
At the time when I was there, I hadn't necessarily seen enough to say this is for sure what I should do. But in hindsight, like we talked about, I mean, the kid is a baller, man. I'm so happy for him. And, you know, I haven't really had a chance to truly sit down and talk with him. But I want to tell him at some point, like, you know, I definitely don't regret changing, but I'm super proud of what you've done. And you know, if there was a way I could pull you over here and, you know, and drag you with me like that, you know, that would have been cool too. Because, you know, obviously we saw what he did at the end of the year, but I don't regret what I did. But at the same time, it's definitely, you look back on it, you're like, damn, that boy got a ball. Right,
could he be the next one?
Could he be? I mean, I think he is. I think he's shown that. Yeah. And he's starting to come into his own. I mean, you can see the way he's talking in front of the media and everything. It's just like a whole different person than what I saw when I was there. Yeah. And that comes with experience.
Still a lot to work on for Jordan Love's decision-making that undid him a lot early in his year, his first season as a full-time starter. Hurt him again late in the playoffs, but again, we were talking about Jordan Love starting in the playoffs. Very good. I don't want to call it a rookie season because it wasn't, but first year.
I laugh at backhanded compliments like that. I mean, like, it was really, like, those were really nice words by Davante Adams. But if you were Jordan Love listening to that, or if I were Jordan Love listening to that, all I'd hear is, God, that guy really thought I sucked and had no chance at all when he was actually
on
my team. I mean, who were you telling that when you were here, Davante? Did you have that opinion when we were cracking jokes in the locker room that, man, you would be now today so utterly shocked that I'm a competent football player.
It is funny that you remember the biggest qualm that Aaron Rodgers had with the Packers was that they never got him the help that he wanted, including drafting Jordan Love. They are addicted to not helping their offensive side of the ball at all, because I'm looking at their draft right now. They did draft Jordan Morgan, offensive lineman, out of Arizona with their top pick. So that will help. But second-round pick, linebacker. Other second-round pick, safety. In the third round, they got a running back. Other third round, linebacker. Fourth round, another safety. Fifth round, got an O-lineman. Sixth round, another safety. They went really heavy on the defensive side of the ball, which I get it. They need help. And if you have a good quarterback, he can do a lot. So you might as well have an elite defense. But not going out there and finding a replacement for Davante Adams.
But in hindsight, isn't it at least somewhat ironic that when Aaron Rodgers was making that complaint about the Packers, that he was on the same team as Davante Adams?
Right.
Who was the best receiver probably still in the league?
Right. Yeah.
Give me more offensive guys!
He had a guy.
They had a guy on the team at that time. He was pretty good.
So we'll see. I'm really curious to watch his second season as a full-time starter. Oh, man,
I'm cheering for him so much.
Absolutely.
I hope he succeeds.
But did he just have a good first year and now everyone's going to catch up to him, or is he going to keep getting better? It'd be awesome if he keeps getting better.
I get the fluke season, I understand, but I have a hard time believing, like, you drag the youngest team in the league to the playoffs. How fluky could that be?
And he kept getting better. He got better throughout the year. He was a lot better by the end of the season than he was at the beginning.
Like, remember when everybody thought Devontae Culpepper was really good, but the truth was he was just throwing to Randy Moss, and as soon as he was not playing with Randy Moss, he was, like, terrible and drummed out of the league, basically.
Dante Culpepper. Yeah.
What did I say?
Devontae.
Dante.
Devontae Adams, yeah.
No, Dante Culpepper. Like, that was fluky. Jordan Love, can you name another player on the Packers? Like, he dragged a bunch of nobodies, no offense to them, or at least young players. Again, the youngest team in the league, took him to the playoffs.
Had a couple of good running backs, but...
That doesn't feel fluky to me.
I agree. I'm with you. And again, the fact that he got better and not worse throughout the year, it wasn't the pitcher who pitches a perfect six innings in his MLB debut, and then by the seventh inning, everyone's seen him, and they shell him. It was the opposite. The more he saw, the better he got.
Remember when Rusty went to the Super Bowl, I think, in his... Rusty Wilson, that is, in his second year? Or was it third? They had the best defense and run game in the league on those teams. And now everybody's like, oh, let Rusty cook. Like, I don't know if he was really the reason that they succeeded.
He wasn't the key reason.
I don't think
he was good enough to do it.
I don't think that was it.
But Marshawn and the Legion of Boom certainly helped.
But you can't say that about Green Bay.
No.
They had no business making the playoffs last year. None. Good for Jordan Love.
Rooting for him. I'm with you.
All right. Stay tuned. Oh, we've got number three.
Still have three.
Yeah, don't get too ahead of yourself.
I do that all the time.
Utah Athletics announces a new multimedia rights partnership.
So they're going to be with JMI Sports, I'm reading this from the University of Utah website. We've also got an article at kslsports.com. JMI Sports is a leading media rights and venue development company that provides management of collegiate multimedia rights. So basically broadcasting, et cetera. Got a new
and
partner.
That means they're leaving Learfield. We did confirm that, right? Because Learfield and JMI actually have a couple of mutual projects. They work on, I think it's Georgia, one of those that they actually do it together. But Utah's been with Learfield for a long time, and now they're going to JMI. I don't think that this really affects your average fan, other than this seems like a real, almost like Utah when they jumped to Under Armour. Because JMI is not one of the big media rights companies. Like, Learfield is huge. I mean, the Learfield Directors Cup, Learfield is huge. Learfield is the Nike of what we're talking about here. And remember when Utah broke with Reebok, I think, to go to Under Armour?
Well, they went with Under Armour because they were going to be just a big dog.
They were going to be one of their original investors, so to speak, and they were going to get treated differently because Nike has the tier system. Are you aware of that? Mm-hmm. Where if you're a tier one Nike school, you're swimming and stuff.
If you're Michigan's Jordan. But yeah, if you're one of those.
If you're a tier two Nike school, you get like a set of cleats for the season.
Yeah.
And if you're a tier three Nike school, you get 10% off at the Nike store.
Some golf balls.
Yeah. It's pretty dramatic.
Yep.
And Utah was stuck in a tier with whoever they were with that they weren't really wild about. They might have gone from Reebok to Nike when Reebok kind of went out of business. But anyway, they made a bold move that went to Under Armour, which I think you could say has paid off, although Under Armour is in such bad shape as a company. I don't know how much longer that partnership is going to last. But this feels to me like you're breaking away from Nike and going with Under Armour. Like, there's a high potential of success. Like, this could really be great. But you know what you're getting with Learfield.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
JMI signature collegiate multimedia rights partnerships include Kentucky, Penn, Pittsburgh, Harvard, DePaul, Columbia, San Diego State, Cal, UCSD, I should say. Georgia, which is big, but that's with Learfield.
I believe, yeah.
Notre Dame is with Legends. So you're right. I mean, Utah jumps in there. Kentucky's a bigger name than Utah. But like Penn is an Ivy League college.
Yeah. No, they're going with an upstart.
Yeah.
And if it works, the potential of success and probably the windfall financially would be nice.
They they're the same fish. They just moved into a smaller pond.
Right.
They just want to get more love.
They want to get more love and attention and be a crown jewel, so to speak. But the problem is, like, you know exactly what you get with Learfield. Like, and you're going to get it.
You're going to get it.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll have more Jake and Ben coming up next. It's a Win Ticket Wednesday. We'll have tickets to give away. Stay tuned, Pitbull fans. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We'll be right back. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's our 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Peach Doors and Windows. It is a Win Ticket Wednesday. Let's give away tickets right now. Caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. Hooking you up with a pair of tickets to go see Pitbull at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater coming up on September the 25th. 801-575-ZONE. And you're going to go see Pitbull.
Mitch Harper, our BYU insider, is unveiling a extensive list of the top 100 greatest BYU football players of all time. Today, he released numbers 100 through 76. It's the 100th anniversary of BYU football. That's why he's doing it this year. Coming in at number 7, our friend Hans Olsen.
Wait, number 7?
97. Did I say 7?
Yeah, 97.
97, pardon me. That would be high for Hans, as good as he was. I would have put him at 7. That's where I would have voted him. Hans Olsen, coming in at number 97.
Are you talking about the dad in the Second Chances song?
You mean that guy?
Yeah, are you talking about that guy?
The throw-in. That's what I call him, the throw-in.
Yeah, 97. Hey, congrats to Hans.
Landing Hans Olsen was a significant victory for BYU in the 1996 recruiting class. Olsen, the nephew of Hall of Famer Merlin Olsen, was a first-team offensive lineman. Defensive lineman in Idaho picked BYU over Tom Osborne's Nebraska Cornhuskers, Washington, Oregon, and Utah State. Olsen went on to be a standout defensive tackle at BYU. He was an All-Mountain West Conference selection his senior season and started in all 12 games. One of Olsen's career highlights was a scoop and score against San Diego State in 1999.
A sweet
scoop
and score.
With his arms flailing everywhere to celebrate.
Did he put that in there, arms flailing everywhere to celebrate?
Yes, he did.
Did Mitch put that in there?
Yep, he did.
Oh, that's going to make Hans mad.
Well,
I wouldn't want to be Mitch today.
It was a flail. He was flailing. You can see the full list.
Well, did he put a video?
Number 100 through 76.
Of the scoop and score in there?
You bet he did. Right above the arms flailing everywhere.
Have you ever heard Hans talk about how much he regrets not having a touchdown celebration planned?
It's one of those things you should think about. On the off chance you get there, so you don't embarrass yourself. That might have...
I don't think Hans embarrassed himself.
That might have kept
he
him
was
from
flailing
getting drafted.
His arms.
That might be the reason he didn't get drafted.
Like, come on. He just scooped and scored against San Diego State. He didn't embarrass himself.
You were laughing at it just 30 seconds ago.
Well, it's because I know the guy. It's not embarrassing. It's a thing. He put his hands up. He was excited.
I thought that was planned. I thought that was his pre-planned celebration.
Well, if you listen to what his actual plan, because he thought about it afterwards, right, was, I don't think it would have worked. It was some sort of rodeo thing with his teammates where people are riding around and lassoing other people or something, and it was like, I don't think that works in college.
He's like a
Mitch
stunt
put,
man on
Mitch
fire
put
in a movie.
Flailing in there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mitch wrote.
He's in trouble.
His arms flailing everywhere to celebrate.
Dude, I can get away with that with Hans. I don't know if Mitch can.
Sure, Mitch can get away with whatever. Mitch is beloved within the BYU community. Big old Federic there as well.
But what now a, it's Brock's turn.
Yeah, see? Everyone's having fun at Hans' expense. That's what the whole station's about. You especially, writing songs with Carl and Dave about the throw-in Hans.
That was Olsen. A jam. That was an absolute jam.
They really show this arms flailing a lot. This replay that Mitch posted here. Go find it, kslsports.com. I've never seen all these angles of Hans Olsen's arm flailing like this. This they've got like cell phone video back from the late 90s. I don't know how they got that. Other names? Do you curious who else is on this list? 96, Reno Mahe. 95, Sione Takitaki. Matt Bushman, 94. Some familiar names. Larry Moore, 93.
That feels low for my guy Reno.
Well, there's a lot of really good players. Justin Enna coming
in
91. I
think Reno was better than the Bushman.
Todd Watkins, 89.
Todd was a baller.
It's crazy how much talent they have. Isaac Rex coming in at 86. So fun list. We'll have Mitch Harper on coming up on Friday.
Todd
we'll talk to him.
Todd was better than Isaac.
None of these guys are better than... I mean, he's got Dan Sorensen. I mean, now I know Dan's had a great NFL career, and that's jaded our view of him. But
he was good when he was
He was very good, yeah. Coming in at number 78. Anyways, right. Good list from Mitch. Go
all
check
right.
it out.
97.
Kyle Whittingham, controversial, coming in at 76.
Why would that be controversial? He played at BYU.
Seems low.
Seems low? I have no idea. I never watched Kyle play in college. No clue.
mid-30s. He and Hans, 33, 34. That's where I would have voted him.
All right, stay tuned. More Jake and Ben. Don't forget What You Got Wednesday at 11:30, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.